Welcome to Paint Ed. Hey, I'm Chris Shank, the education guy at the Painting Contractors Association. PCA provides painting contractors with the training and connections they need to grow their business. To find out more, visit pcapainted.org. On this episode of Paint Ed, Steve Skodak, the executive director of PCA, talks with us about our recent name change from PDCA to PCA. Yes, our acronym and logo has changed to align with a more accurate descriptor, Painting Contractors Association. So you may be asking, what's the big deal? Well, for some, it isn't a big deal. But if you knew what we've been through to get here, and if you knew where we were going, it's a pretty big deal. It's our promise to you that we are, as the chairperson of our board of directors put it, evolving, forward-thinking, and staying relevant as an association. Now that's a big deal. Hey, Steve, welcome to Paint Ed.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Again, it's nice to have you on, our executive director. And I always say, and this is getting old, but it's nice to have you on your show.
Yes, it's nice to be on my show.
Everything we do around here is in some way heavily influenced by your presence. So we have seen some neat things happening here at PCA over the last few years. You've been here now 3 years, right?
3 years, just over 3 years, yeah. Right.
And we were PDCA, and then we actually took on the descriptor. It was the descriptor, the Painting Contractors Association.
Right. We did that in March of 18.
Okay. And we still had the acronym PDCA.
Correct.
That was kind of following what our name used to be, which was the Painting and Decorating Contractors of America.
Right.
So now we wanted to be closer to a little bit more, something more aligned with who we really are, and that is the Painting Contractors Association. So now we are PCA as of Monday, Tuesday, this week.
Yes, that was our launch. That was our launch. Our board voted on that 2 months ago. And we have been in preparations to roll that out and to get our new URL up, which is pcapainted.org. Mm-hmm. Rolling out the new branding, and people will see it as we introduce new collateral into the marketplace. They'll start seeing more of the PCA and Painting Contractors Association.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the change, why the change. It was not too long ago that it was voted in, but it was talked about for a little while. So tell me about the history of why the name change. It's a different name, same great flavor, right?
Right, right.
So why the name change?
When I came in about 3 years ago, or just over 3 years ago, there was a lot of confusion in the marketplace over who we were as an organization and what we stood for. So in collaboration with one of our champions, Sherwin-Williams, Archie Bartell and Jeff Winter worked with us to reach out to the industry to look at name recognition and to see what kind of market penetration we had with that name. I would say the lion's share of people out there, unaided, were not aware of who we were in the industry. So we have this, we talk about 310,000 contractors out there, and when you only have a few thousand who recognize the name, that was a big challenge to us. So we then did some additional follow-up market research on how people associated when we started leading with, hey, do you know who this is? And we gave it to them. There was a little more name recognition, but not so much. So we're certainly looking to create an inclusive descriptor for the organization. And that's why when we did the rebranding, we looked at adding a descriptor alongside our logo that indicated we were the Painting Contractors Association. And people latched on to that, and we started seeing recognition with that. But then we started answering the question, so what does PDCA stand for? If we're the Painting Contractors Association, what is this PDCA?
Right, right.
And, you know, other organizations have certainly wrestled with this. I think of major manufacturers who are going by their acronyms most of their life, but it changes what their business model is.
Well, for instance, PDCA has America in it, and we are
right.
International.
Right.
And we are an association, and that's not mentioned in the title.
Right.
Except now with Painting Contractors Association, it kind of says what we are. Painting and Decorating Contractors of America, you know, says a little bit about what we are, but there's a misnomer in there. And it also separates out decorating from painting, which
right.
We're just putting those together in the new PCA.
Well, and decorating is an industry term and is most recognized in the UK. We see there, instead of having a house painter, you have a decorator. There were guilds that were associated with decorating. And so when the decorating portion of it was put into our name back in the 30s, it was a nod and an encouragement to the UK, which had at that time the most robust apprenticeship programs out there. And so that was an attempt to get the folks, in particular a lot of immigrants who were coming in, to know and understand what that is. Currently, decorator means something else to most of the consumers out in the marketplace. And so for us, we're not eliminating our involvement with people who have decorating as a component of what they're doing, but we're more accurately describing to the public and to the prospect member who our audience is.
I was speaking with a member the other day who's heavily into wallpaper and a part of another association along with ours that deals primarily with wallpaper. And we were talking about education we're going to be doing together. And he's still as interested in that part of his work and that niche that he's involved in. That's primarily what he does. And I was there to assure him, yes, we are still an association that welcomes people in all forms of decorating and sure. like that sort of thing. It's just, it was a little bit closer to who most of us are. And, you know, with a lot of people who are expanding their repertoire, you could do a lot of things. You provide a lot of services. Sure. We just wanted to be a little bit more all-embracing and simple, too. There's something to simplicity.
Yes.
You know, how many times have we, as staff here at PCA, tried to tell people what we do and where we work? And we say, Painting and Decorating Contractors of America, you know, but the Painting Contractors Association really answers pretty quickly who we are.
Right.
And I've tested that out just on family and friends. But when I speak to people about it, most contractors, and I want to get your feel on this, most contractors think that's pretty intuitive.
Yes. They're
like, that plainly just says it out very simply.
That was our response. And that was part of the discussion that our board of directors had as we reached out to industry partners and as we surveyed the public. Public being contractors out in the field, was that it was intuitive, it was inclusive, it did embrace our longstanding relationship with members in Canada, as well as those who are in Central and South America and those who are in Europe and in Asia. So it was a good opportunity for us to be able to describe more accurately that we were not solely an American organization. Mm-hmm. And this has been a long-standing debate back and
right.
forth. You know, 200 years ago, 1825. In 1825, we had the House Painter Society.
Hmm.
So we
is that who we were?
Well, this predates us.
Okay.
This actually are the people who led to us being around, and this was in New York, and they wanted to separate themselves from sign painters and carriage painters. As the house painters. So they formed the House Painters Society, and it was primarily a social organization. That went from 1825 until the formation of our organization legally in 1885.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So House Painters Society had been formed in New York in 1825 and ran up until the formation of our current organization when it was organized in 1884. And then actually formalized the creation in 1885. Hmm. And their goals were very similar to what we see today. There was sketchy manufacturing, which we don't have that issue today, but they had it.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a lot to do with training. And it had a lot to do with the apprenticeship and, at that time, journeyman, or what we would consider journey worker level training. Apprentices were placed in a single shop. They had to stay there until the master painter indicated that they were ready to paint on their own, thus the journeyman, which meant they were able to then travel, ply their trade, go shop to shop. So they were then a professional who was able to work for a variety of companies. But up until then, that wasn't the case. So they're trying to organize as a group to have each other's back in an industry that was pretty challenging at that time.
Hmm.
And then we see Titus Berger comes along. And Titus Berger was a guy who wrote for a magazine at that time, which was a painter's magazine, and indicated that All of these organizations that had formed, these master painter associations and house painter societies, all needed to come together and be a national organization. Because we saw groups form in New York, Philadelphia, Boston, Chicago, Pittsburgh, that were all master painters associations. So they said that association really needs to have national clout. And so Titus Berger pushed from 1880 to 1884 to create a national organization, mm-hmm. and finally published in his magazine in December of 84 that they had formed a group, and that group was going to meet on January 15th of 85 at the Cosmopolitan Hotel in New York.
Woo-wee.
And they were asking everybody to show up. Well, a small group of people showed up who quickly elected Titus Berger as the president of that. But they formed the group Master House Painters of the U.S. and Canada. And that's really where our name came from at that time. And then shortly after that, in 1890, they changed it to the Master Painters and Decorators Association of the United States of America. And then a few years later, 1903, added "and Canada" back. And then in 1904, just a year later, they changed it again to International Association of Master House Painters and Decorators, which was the first nod that we saw to the UK decorators. Mm. And so that name stuck until 1928. In 1928, so June 4th, 1928 is when we as an organization incorporated. We incorporated in the state of Illinois as the Master Painter and Decorators Incorporated. And that created some value and protection in the marketplace by being a corporate entity. And then in 1937, they voted to change the name again to the current Painting and Decorating Contractors of America that was up in place until 2 months ago.
So that was 1937?
Correct.
Okay.
So we have carried that name from 37 until today. And as you could see, they struggled in their first 100 years with renaming themselves to make sure that the population that was around them understood who they were.
Right.
And so in the second 100 years, so as we've remained with this name for since 1937, it became important for us to rename ourselves to more accurately depict the environment we're in today.
That's good stuff. So it had changed 6-7 times before it even solidified 1937.
In the first 100 years of the
right
of the society.
So to really be faithful to the spirit of the Painting and Decorating Contractors of America, we need to be reevaluating how we depict ourselves and how we are
right.
seen by our demographic, and who is our demographic, and who's our audience.
Right.
You know, so, and we're being faithful to that spirit. And I want to point out, too, that there was branding updates in the past couple years. And so people may say, hey, we just updated everything. But no, we didn't. We just updated branding.
Right.
The name had remained the same.
Well, and even in our case of going to Painting Contractors Association, this is a doing business as for us to be able to protect our legacy. You know, we still, as a corporation, have a corporate name, Painting and Decorating Contractors of America, because that provides us some legal advantages over materials that we've developed over the years, trademarks and copyrighted items. But with our doing business as, we're projecting to the public who we really are and who we're looking to serve.
Now, this change, it's already happened, and everything is changing. I mean, there's still some things
Correct.
Out there. You know, we're changing over, you know, our education pieces slowly over time. People can go inside our system and see blogs and videos and things like that that may have PDCA still on them, because we
Right.
are still that essential same
Right.
entity. Trade Best Practice Series, you know, just released, that has PDCA everywhere throughout.
Right.
But we are still that, just with the updated logo and name.
Yeah. And those, you know, we had PDCA.org plastered over a whole lot of promotional items, and those will still land on our page. You can still go there and you'll land on a page, but it'll be the Painting Contractors Association. And as we introduce products into the marketplace, if there is PDCA on it, we believe that that confusion will subside over time as we rebrand. We utilized, our board's position was to release this opportunistically, which means that we're going to introduce it as we create new pieces, and we are not going to spend a lot of time or money from the organization to fully rebrand everything right up front.
Right.
So you'll see this trickle out. I use the analogy of Southwest Airlines when they used to be a brown plane and now they're a blue plane. And, you know, for a very long time, once they introduced the new color scheme and the new logo, you still saw a lot of brown planes flying. But over time, as they needed to reintroduce that, you eventually saw their whole fleet catch up.
So do people like it? People pretty happy with it?
They seem to be. They seem to be. The feedback that we've gotten has largely been positive. Anything that we have, any concerns that we've had about that have been very, very minimal. And we certainly wanted to make sure that we had a chance to talk to everybody about these changes and have them understand what our points and goals behind this were.
So I don't know if you have this boiled down to an elevator speech or not, but where is PCA going? I know we've done podcasts before about this. We know we're working on some things, but tell the people where PCA is going.
PCA is really setting itself up to be able to show folks where a career trajectory is, that it's a great industry to be a part of. We want to help business owners, entrepreneurs out there who choose painting as their career. We want to be able to give them continuing education that makes their business more profitable. At the same time, we want to introduce the public to what a career as a painter looks like and what those career trajectories are. So we have the Trade Best Practice Series, which is rolling out, which is an onboarding program that takes someone from street level onto the job site. That's going to be offered in a variety of programs around the U.S. that are youth-based programs. It's going to be involved in trade schools, high schools, programs where we can show people what it looks like to be a painter and what that career looks like, because they don't have much experience with that.
And companies are using it too, right?
Right.
And it's available
and
to,
it's
I think,
available
everybody.
To contractors as well. But as we look at 16-year-olds in high school who are considering what their options are, we want to be able to point down the road and say, here is an onboarding program you have. We're rolling out apprenticeship programs this year. We have the Association Health Plan, which is healthcare, dental, vision, all of the things that you would associate with a full, robust healthcare offering. We have that, Association Retirement Plans, and what we're doing is, as that 16-year-old looks at that, we're showing a career trajectory that has a great future, has ongoing training that will take people through that process, and they get paid to do that training as opposed to paying to go get the training. And it is a career path that will have healthcare benefits, retirement options, all of that as they move throughout their career. And then we're also going to show the career paths. You come in as a painter. Do you want to be a supervisor? Do you want to be an estimator? You want to be in sales? You want to run your own company? You want to go to work for a manufacturer? There are lots and lots of career paths out there that really afford a high quality of living without the debt load that some folks are seeing as they send their kids off to college, who then come out and say, I'd rather work with my hands and I'd rather do something that's aesthetically beautiful in my community.
And I want to make some money.
And I want to make money, right, yeah, and have and no debt.
Yeah, and then make some progress and upward mobility and all that stuff.
Yeah. You can imagine being 25 years old, having started at 16 through the process. Those people do not have debt. They have a house. They have they've been earning income for the last 8-9 years. And as we are able to show them what that looks like, there are a lot of people out there who find painting to be incredibly rewarding because they go into a place that looks worn and or they go into a place which is raw materials, and they are the finishing touches on it. It's not done until the painter's been there. And when we see these on commercial projects where they take them down to take down a bridge, or there's a tilt-up concrete, or there is a water tower, or there's a school that's being built, it's not really done and released to people until you see the paint job on it. And we really think that that's rewarding for a lot of people who like to start and finish things. And it also gives them a chance every day. They get up, they go in, they do their job, they come home, and there is a progression of their work. I wish all of us could say that every day we go to work, we see progress by the end of the day. Because
right.
I know my days don't always go that way.
Right.
So it's a wonderful, vibrant career. We want to show the world that it's a career path that is noble, that is exciting. And we also want to help the contractor by getting those people out there who have an interest in this career path in their company, helping them generate revenue and do more jobs in their community.
That sounds good. Sounds very promising. I think it's hope not just for people considering a career in the trades, but it's promising for business owners in the painting industry who are trying to figure out where the next wave of the labor force is going to be coming from. So we are working on those issues right now.
Right.
And as a direct response to the feedback that we're hearing from contractors, you know, what are their pain points? And we're responding directly to those and creating these programs. And it takes a while because these are the bigger solutions. It's the bigger game, longer game.
Right. And that coupled with our standards that we have for the industry really creates a robust system of us developing quality standards and helping to get those implemented for the people who are utilizing them, getting them quality labor who can work to those standards. And I think it projects to the public that we are the go-to source for distinguishing between the professional painter and the amateur and hobbyist, because we're really going to see as trade best practice series are adopted around the country and internationally, and as the apprenticeship program comes into place, and then as we look at journey worker to master painter level programs, we're going to give not just a career path, but we're going to project to the public the difference between what a professional is and what an amateur is. And the consumer has always been asking us for that. How do we distinguish between somebody who really is committed to their profession and people who may be fly by night? And
right.
This is a great way for people to separate themselves.
Well, it sounds like you have caught the vision. I mean, you're projecting it, but you're also, it's what people have been asking for. And I think you got your finger on the pulse. And that's a nice thing to be an association, to be caught up in this movement of people where somebody knows where this whole thing is going and where we ought to be. So that's exciting. And so the name change is really just a smaller symptom of that bigger movement, I think.
Right. And we have a large number of committed volunteers and an ever-growing platform of between our board of directors, our committees, people who are out there working at the local level to implement these programs. There's a lot of people out there who are very excited about our direction and are wanting to be part of that, and we certainly welcome their involvement and would encourage them to let us know some of their ideas and some of their thoughts about how we can implement these in their communities.
Right. And a big thank you to the board of directors here at PCA who have sacrificed a lot of time and energy to help make these changes come about.
Yeah, and our foundation board as well has been deeply involved in this.
Well, Steve, thanks for another State of the Union. We try to do this every once in a while. I definitely want to have you on more often, and we will. So thanks for being on Paint Ed.
Thank you for having me.
Paint Ed podcasts are a product of the Painting Contractors Association. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org. We'll see you next time. It's a different name, same great flavor, right?
Right.